his mindset, his attitude. He said the persecution was so heavy and so relentless that he said, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul." He said, "It is now hitting me on the inside." He said, "I'm on the inside of this dark cave, but because of these attacks from the enemy, it's penetrating to my soul, who I am. This battle is changing me," is what David's saying. He said, "It's hot and it's bothersome, and this enemy Saul, man, he's persecuting me," and he says, "hath persecuted my soul." Look what else he says in verse 3. "He has smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." Notice where he says, "He hath made me to dwell in darkness." I believe David here, when he's beginning to talk about his soul and who he is as a person being broke down by this enemy, he says he hath broke me down, or he hath made me to dwell in darkness. Now, he was dwelling in a dark cave, but also I tend to believe, because of how much he speaks about his spirit and soul, that not only this darkness had to do with the cave he was dwelling in, but it also had to do with his thoughts as well. I think I said Sunday morning something along the lines of how, darkness can cause you to be sad, and light can cause a reverse effect, cause you to be happy, or at least on your way to being happy. Well, David was in this dark cave, and the enemy was breaking him down and going after his life, and he says that, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul." I'm being broke down on the inward part, who I am as a person. He says, "It's darkness." He says, "It's dark in this cave." He says, "But my thoughts are dark." I want to say this, that walking in darkness or being in darkness that soon to follow is dark thoughts. David said that dwelling in this cave, being in isolation, being on the run, being in retreat, it has caused my character and who I am to be broken down. And I want to say tonight that, by way of introduction, that that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. He wants to break you down. He wants to get on the inside. Now, we don't believe that a Christian could be demon-possessed, but we do believe, and I believe, that a Christian can be oppressed. Greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Jesus is victorious on the inside. Satan can't get in, nor if his footmen can get in. But he can oppress. And he does have darts. And he does have lullabies, if you would. He does have things that he can tempt us to think about that would cause doubt concerning God and his faithfulness. And so this is David. He's in a dark cave, and he has dark thoughts, and he's being broke down on the inward man. He says, "My soul," in verse number 3. And then look in verse number 4. He says, "Therefore, because the enemy has persecuted me and persecuted my soul, and because there's darkness all around, I'm in a dark cave and I have dark thoughts." Verse 4 says, "Therefore, is my spirit overwhelmed within me?" So David is talking about the inward man, not so much the his connections with the Spirit of God or God, but he's talking about him as a person. He said, "All this persecution and all this running and all this hiding and all this darkness has crept in into my thought life." He says, "Things are dark." He says, "I can't get out." He said, "In fact, my spirit is overwhelmed." Have you ever been in a place in your life where it just seemed like, we know God has not forsaken us, we know he's with us, for us, and in us, but have you ever been there where it felt like God has just, I don't know, he's working with this one over here, and he's moving mountains for this one over here, but here you are, okay, a child of God. You know that he hasn't abandoned you. You know he hasn't separated himself from you. So what is he doing? Where is God when I need him? Is some of the common questions a lot of people have, a lot of Christians. But David, he's in darkness. His spirit's overwhelmed. Look again at verse 4. "Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, My heart within me is desolate. David said, my spirit's overwhelmed and I have an empty heart. You know, your heart is, if I can say it this way, as far as terminology and paralleling and connecting some dots here, your heart is where the passion comes from. You know, your heart is the seat where your passion comes from, your drive, your desire. And David says, that part is empty. He said, I'm stuck. It's dark. The enemy's after me. My spirit's overwhelmed. I'm empty-hearted. And if you keep on looking down through the chapter, look at verse number 7. He says, hear me speedily, O Lord. And here it is again. My spirit faileth. Talking about David as a person. Talking about his confidence. Talking about his attitude and how the enemy got to him and was breaking him down. He was dwelling in darkness, had dark thoughts. His spirit was overwhelmed. His heart was empty. Again, verse number 7, his spirit faileth him. Look down to verse number 8. David says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. For in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. And here it is again, the soul and spirit. For I lift up my soul unto thee. He is downtrodden. He is David's soul. I mean, listen, his soul is dwindling. His soul is empty. His soul is overwhelmed. His spirit's overwhelmed. His spirit is failing him. And verse 7, where he says, my spirit faileth, that may be in reference to that, to the human spirit to keep going and keep going on. You know, he says, even that part is broken down. I can't go on, is what he's saying. He said, I'm lifting up my soul unto thee. Verse number 11 says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And then in verse number 12, he says, and of thy mercy cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. Then these next 5 words, he says, for I am thy servant. And so we see in Psalm 143 that this is a psalm of David. It's a suffering psalm, and he's dealing with the enemy the best he can. He's hiding, and he's ducking and dodging. He's in a cave that's dark. He has dark thoughts. His spirit is failing him. He's trying to lift up what's left of his soul to God for victory, for healing. He's asking God in verse number 11 to bring his soul out of trouble. And then he says in verse 12, I am your servant. I said all that tonight to say this, that I believe much of David's struggle had to do with his thoughts, with his mind. He had a troubled mind. And so tonight, just for a few moments, we won't be very long, but for a few moments, I want to speak to you on that thought, reasoning with a troubled mind, or dealing with a troubled mind. How do we deal with a troubled mind? I'm not talking about me dealing with your mind and you dealing with my mind, but how do we deal with it when our mind is troubled? You know, and we're overwhelmed and we feel as though everything is dark around us. We feel though as though our thoughts are becoming dark and maybe we feel like God's nowhere around. What did David do? Well, if you notice in verse number 5, in verse number 6, David did 3 simple things. 3 things did David do when he was dealing with his troubled mind. And I believe these 3 things that we all can do, and it will at least point us in the right direction, and healing should follow if we have a troubled mind. Notice, if you would, in verse number 5, David said, the first thing I did, we see that David gathered his thoughts. In verse number 5, it tells us that David gathered his thoughts with his troubled mind. He couldn't get out of it. There was that inward part that was closing in, and the enemy had got to his character and who he was. And so David said, what I had to do was I had to gather my thoughts. Verse 5, he says this. He says, I remember the days of old. And so while he had this troubled mind and his spirit being overwhelmed and cave dwelling and dark thoughts, David said, I had to stop and I had to just gather my thoughts. And David said, as I was gathering my thoughts in this gloomy situation, he said, I had to remember the days of old. And so we take that as though David is referring to God's former appearances in his life. You remember the life of David. We talked about him much since we've been here. Even when he was a little shepherd boy and the lion jumped out and, you know, tried to get his sheep and God was with him. He grabbed the bear, I believe it was, or the paw of the lion at least, and he saved his sheep. God was with him. And then he graduated from lions, tigers, and bears to Goliath. And he defeated Goliath. Remember what David said when he was fighting Goliath? He said, the battle's the Lord's. You come with me, you know, with shield and sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. And we know that David defeated Goliath. Also, Goliath had a few brothers not long after that battle that David strove with and fought with them. And so David had many victories in his life. And David said, what I have to do is when my spirit is overwhelmed and I feel like I'm in darkness and God has forgot about me at least, I have to gather my thoughts. I got to remember the things that God has done. All of us have memorials in our life. I mean, the times where God has came through and the situations that you were faced with, kind of like a brick wall or it was a dead end and you know, bills were due. You needed a job or it was a health situation and it looked like there was no way possible. But what happened? God made a way. Because that's what God does. God makes a way when there is no way. And it's the Lord bringing us into a whole new level of faith and trust in Him in relationship. I like in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32. The Lord likens Himself to a mother eagle. And He says in Deuteronomy 32 and in other chapters, He says, was I not with you as a mother eagle, and how I carried you and brought you unto myself? That's what He said. He said, Israel, I was like a mother eagle. I carried you and brought you unto myself. You know what God's doing tonight? Through your darkness, through my darkness, through difficulty. You've heard it. I've said it. It feels like I say it every service about some kind of trial or storm. But that's what we're dealing with. God is simply bringing us to Himself. He's bringing us into a deeper relationship with Him. Why? Because down the road when that next trial comes, He wants us to stand as Moses did and just lift up that rod and watch the waters part, you see. It's faith being refined. And it's faith under fire. And so we see that David gathers his thoughts in verse 5. I remember the days of old. And that's his first step to healing his troubled mind, dealing with his troubled mind, is that of gathering his thoughts. There's a second thing in verse number 5. Not only did David gather his thoughts, but we see that David goes through his thoughts. Notice what that next phrase says. He says, I remember the days of old. David gathering his thoughts. Then he says, I meditate on all thy works. And so David, first of all, he gathers his thoughts. He finds a place of solitude, whether it's in the cave or out in the open. He finds that place of quietness and solitude right in the middle of his frustration and darkness. And he gathers his thoughts about who God is and what God has done in his life. But now it's going to another level. And you see, the word meditate here is where all the struggle comes in. Because I want to tell you what, it's easy to get into the Bible. It's hard for the Bible to get into you. It's easy to sit down and read a verse or two. But meditation is when God's word gets into us, you see. And so David started with gathering his thoughts about what he remembered from his former days and as a young shepherd boy and then as a giant slayer. And so now he graduates to a deeper meditation. He says, I remember the days of old. Then he says, I meditate on all thy works. The word meditate here, I looked up today and looked at several meanings of meditate, but I like this one when it comes to meditate. Meditation is contemplation. But I like this one more than that one. Meditation is the plow before the seed. Think about that. Meditation is the plow before the seed. You see, anybody can say they got into the Word today. But for somebody to truly meditate, you've got to plow some ground. It's hard. I mean, listen, for any given sermon, ask my wife and my daughter, I don't want to just bring something off the cuff. I don't want to just open the Bible and say, well, there it is, that's what it says, let's all go home and have a good night. I want to have God's Word each and every time that the door is open, because I know if I bring God's Word, it will touch hearts and people will be helped, lives will be changed. But there's one key element, and that is meditation. He says, I remember the days of old. He says, during my dark times in the cave with my dark thoughts and my spirit being overwhelmed and I was thirsting for God, I just had to sit down and gather my thoughts concerning how God has been faithful to me. And then he says, I meditate on all thy works. David is in his situation trying to move forward. He's meditating. He's plowing hard ground. It's hard. It's difficult to get in that place where there's joy in the midst of suffering. It's hard and it's difficult to get to that place where there's victory on Monday mornings and victory on Tuesday mornings when everything's going wrong or when everything is just mundane. That's what David's doing. He has remembered times past, but now he's in meditation mode. He is plowing hard ground. Have you been there before? Where you knew the only way through this was for God to show up in your life. But also you knew that there was a part from you that you had to be responsible about, and I had to be responsible about, and that is to call unto Him. And that is to bring every care to the Lord and cast my cares on Him. You see, the Lord wants to help, and the Lord wants to show Himself mighty and strong in our life, but there's a part on our behalf as well, and that is entering into meditation. Meditation. I want to say this, that getting, and you know this, getting a word from God many times is not easy. Now, we have a complete Bible here, Genesis to Revelation. We have the available at-hand Word of God. I'm not talking about anything charismatic or, you know, anything like that. But I'm talking about God wants to speak to us tonight. And wherever we're at in our life, it is open game. It's open season. And He has a Word for all of us, but it takes meditation. Again, I love the definition. It's as a plow that plows up the ground before the seed. There's some work involved. So we see that David, he goes through his thoughts in verse 5. And then we see that David gathers his thoughts in verse number 5. But then I want you to notice a third thing in verse number 5. David gets new thoughts. See, that's the progression. That's the aim of meditation. That's the aim of dealing with your own troubled mind is getting to that place where you remember what God has done and now you're so desperate, you're engaging in prayer with Him. And it's hard. It's like breaking up, you know, hollow ground or hard ground. It's like plowing, you know. But then the seed comes. Look what David says in verse 5. unusual word. And before I got totally satisfied on this word, it took me about an hour to look at it until I was satisfied with it. He says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works, past, present, future even. He says, I muse on the work of thy hands. I said, all right, muse. Almost met the music. And so I got to looking at that word and chasing that word down. And basically, here's a few definitions of the word muse as it is in the Bible here. Muse, it means to consider something thoughtfully. It means to give to discourse. It also means to give a speech, a sermon. It means to talk to. It means that you're considering something very thoughtfully. It means you're on the verge of delivering something. It means that you're slowly coming out of, there's been a transfer, you see. He said, I muse, or I'm considering something thoughtfully. He says, I'm speaking up for the Lord, and I'm giving discourse of Him. I'm saying a speech that God is good. He's been faithful. I remember the days of old, and He was there when my sheep were getting away by the wild animals. And the Lord was there when Goliath came to me, and I faced him. And so now David has entered into meditation where there's a breakthrough, and he says, I muse on the work of thy hands. In other words, he's saying that I'm actually starting to speak about God now. I was in a cave. I was in darkness. I was all to myself, running from the enemy. But now, because I remembered some things, and because I've entered into meditation, though it was hard and difficult, I stayed with it and kept at God until He answered me. He said, I muse on the work of thy hands. In other words, I'm speaking well about God's hands. In the beginning, verse 1, hear my prayer, O Lord. But now he's speaking well of God's hands. Now he's saying that God has all power and he has his creative work. And in verse 2, he talked about not judging him. But now there's been a transition out of that darkness. Look, if you would, in verse number 6. He says in verse 6, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. How about that? That is a change of mind. That is the transfer from a troubled mind to a mind that's in victory, to a victorious mind. He said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. He said, I remember some things and I meditated. Oh, it was hard. I actually entered into your presence and dear Lord, and I muse on the work of thy hands. Lord, your hands have been great in my life. You have a helping hand, a mighty hand. Then in verse number 6, he says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Think about that. He says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. I believe it's a twofold stretching forth of the hands. I believe that David is stretching forth his hands unto God with praise, because he just spent ample amount of time in his dark place thinking about all that God has done for him. And then he meditated on God's works, all his works, what he can do, what he has done. You see the transition here, that David's coming out of his bad thought process, his dilemma, his hardship. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. I believe he's stretching forth his hands unto the Lord concerning praise, but also prayer. He's stretching forth his hands unto the Lord. Because if you read the remaining part of the chapter, he's still asking. You know, he's still pleading. Look at verse number 7. After he said, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. Verse 7 says, hear me speedily. Lord, I'm praising you. Lord, I'm praying to you, but hear me speedily. I know you've done it in the past, and Lord, I have spent some time of your word getting into me as opposed to just glancing across your word. Lord, there's becoming a change in my dark place. What he's saying, hear me speedily. O Lord, my spirit faileth. And then he says, hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. So we see that David here gets some new thoughts. He gets some new thoughts. But it all started with the gathering of thoughts. The message tonight is simply this, is just trying to deal with a troubled mind. You know, trying to reason with a troubled mind. And it's hard. The heart gets saved in one aspect, but the mind doesn't. The mind plays tricks on you, and the mind is the headquarters where the devil fires them darts. Oh, God don't love you. You don't belong at that church. You know, you just get to the place where you just say, you know what, you're a liar, and your final place is going to be the lake of fire. And you just allow the Lord to win the battle for you. So that's the lesson tonight, dealing with a troubled mind. David said, I had to gather my thoughts. He said, I had to go through my thoughts. There's a difference. Gather, go through, work through them. Sometimes it's hard. You got to deal with things. It may not be easy, but then David said, I got some new thoughts. He said, I just bragged about God's hand. And then I started stretching my hands in praise and prayer. And we all go through those times where we feel like we're in, you know, isolation mode, or we're in a place of darkness. And then it starts to creep into our minds. And, you know, and then first one thing and the other, we feel like we're an outcast. But don't believe it. We are not an outcast. And if you're saved, you belong to the Lord tonight. Any questions, any comments before we close tonight? There's a lot there. And David, he is definitely one of those characters who's been there and done that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your love, your tender care. And I don't know, Lord, maybe, God forbid, but maybe later on this week or down the road, someone might suffer from the enemy's assaults, and it may even start to strip down who they are, and the accusations, and all of those things. Then they may feel like they're in darkness. And Lord, their spirit fails them, and they're overwhelmed. Lord, help all of us when that time comes for us to just gather our thoughts. Remember who you are and what you've done, and then go through our thoughts, dear Lord. Spend time on those thoughts. Allow those workings and miracles you've done to actually enter into our core being. And we know we've entered into your presence. We know we have meditated when we have been changed. Lord, we're thankful at the same time that we can speak nothing but great and good things of you, Lord. And we just continue to reach out our hands in praise, and reach out our hands in prayer. We love you. We thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. About 6 minutes early. Appreciate you coming.